Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Sensitive Souls podcast. I am your host, Jess Palmer, a she, they, fairy humanoid, just trying to take it one day at a time, right? I saw this meme. I'm just laughing already because it truly just felt like an embodiment of my life. And so I saw this meme the other day. And basically, it's like a text between friends. And a friend's like, are you Gucci? Like, are you Gucci, my friend? Are you Gucci, my dude? Whatever. And then the person responds, I'm Goodwill at best, my dude. And, like, I love thrifting. Don't get me wrong. That's pretty much most of the clothes that I wear. But just the embodiment of that conversation is like, yeah, I'm Goodwill at best, my dude. And that's how it's just sort of been, you know, and I feel like I say this every episode. I'm like, yeah, life's just kind of is what it is, but like it is, you know, like I've been saying this to my best friend, Eb. He's my roommate too. So like we just, you know, we're two Scorpios, just always kind of talking about, I don't know, the bleakness of life sometimes, right? Because, like, that's a fact. You know, it's kind of naive to think that things can be perfect and aligned all the time. And I feel like a lot of people are always running away from, like, running away from the realness that suffering exists and that not every day is going to be easy and that's okay, right? And so I'm already going on a tangent here, but I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I was telling Eb that I feel like the last 3 years have been just a portal of shit. Like, although a lot of good things have happened, you know, a lot of growth, a lot of healing, a lot of shedding, that hasn't come cheap or easy. And I know a lot of you listening are like, same, right? Like, the last 2 to 3 years have truly been collectively and individually a nightmare, but also like a coming home to self. I feel like I've done a lot of self-love and acceptance work with my trauma and like through therapy and through my own spiritual healing modalities, but again, not without such a great cost and a lot of loss. That rhymed. But that has nothing to do with today's episode, friends. I just feel like that is a true ADHD fashion type of intro. So I hope you're here for it. If you're new to the podcast, I am diagnosed ADHD and recently autistic at the beginning of this year. And that has been a journey because there's been a lot of like unlayering of imposter syndrome too, because when you look at me, when you get to know me, when you interact with me, it's like I don't fit the standard narrative of an autistic person, but I very much live the autistic experience. But being late diagnosed at 28 years old, I'll be 29 in October. Going through my Saturn return now, so it just makes a lot of sense, like all of the self-discovery and unlayering and peeling back that I've been experiencing. But yeah, being diagnosed autistic really put me in this seat where I replayed my whole life up until being diagnosed, and finally things all made sense, and I was able to really start to do a lot of releasing and letting go of some of my traumas and some of the things that I experienced, now understanding what I know now. So I'm more than happy to do an episode more in depth on like that type of reflection. But in today's episode, I'm going to title it When You're Autistic But Also a Witch. So that is the indicator of today's episode. That is what we will be talking about. Because, and not even just people with autism, right? Like, this could apply to any type of neurodiversity. But something I was reflecting on this morning was like, wow, I'm a very psychic and intuitive person. My intuition has grown so much stronger this year. Like this year in particular, I've predicted things and I've seen things coming in a way that I've never really seen them come before. And I don't know, I feel that embracing my autism and discovering that part of myself or those traits of myself, and putting together a bigger picture of who I am and how I operate and how I take in information, I think that's allowed me to be more open to trusting my internal compass, but that hasn't been without struggle. And if you're someone who is intuitive or, has psychic abilities, I mean, we all have psychic abilities, it's just some are more in tune than others, then you may struggle with the discernment between is this my anxiety or neurodiversity, or is this my unbiased intuitive download? And so there's the struggle, right? Because with speaking from my personal experience only, having autism and ADHD, I do sometimes struggle with perception and how I perceive information and how I take it in and process it. A lot of that can be from internal bias and trauma, right? Anybody can struggle with that. But also, like for me, it's reading the social cues. And this is gonna get personal, but I guess like in my relationships, my more intimate relationships with femme presenting people, or cis women, it's like as a bi person, for me, it's so much harder to know if a woman or a femme presenting person is interested in me romantically or not. And there's been more times than not where I've gotten it wrong. And I just totally misread that situation. And I mean, I've done that even in friendships too, like misread the amount of maybe not loyalty, but like I always kind of end up giving more in my relationships. Because I perceive that person in like a different light than who they actually are, perhaps by putting them up on a pedestal or ignoring like red flags. And this is more like in my past, but those are just more examples of how my perception can be construed, I guess. But then on the opposite side of that, I'm a highly intuitive person. I went to a craft fair with my moms like a couple weeks ago. And I ran into two girls from high school whom I really have a lot of love for and have given them personal readings in the past. And they were like, yo, we were just saying how, like, what you said about blah, 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 and this reading came true. And, like, look at where I'm at now. And then she was saying how in her reading you said this. And, like, look at this, blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of stood there. And, like, I'm autistic as fuck. And this is this is a surprise social interaction that I didn't mentally plan for or script. So I'm like stumbling over my words. I'm just kind of in shock. I'm just smiling. And I just was kind of saying, oh, like that's so sweet. Thank you. Like it's been an honor to like read for you or whatever I said, like just kind of scripting as fast as I could. I don't know, like it took me a little bit of time later on, like maybe even a couple of days to like a week later, that I really sat and was like, wow, like I have a gift. And it's okay and not egotistical for me to think that, And I think it's important that we embrace our gifts and be our authentic selves without feeling like we're being too proud or too confident. And like for me, that's like the Catholic guilt. Like being raised Catholic, it was always like vanity, right? Like thinking too much of yourself and giving into bodily things. And yeah, like I want to change that narrative and know that it's safe for me to embrace my authentic self, right? But kind of pedaling back a little bit. So I want to note that it's really important that when we're practicing discernment and we're trying to tune into, is this an intuitive message that's unbiased, or is this my own perception based off of my own past experiences or biased feelings? Just like take that in for a second. Right, because being unbiased allows us to see situations and people and places and jobs and relationships for what they truly are, factual, and not in how we see them through rose-tinted glasses or see it through rose-tinted glasses. It's really important that we be honest with ourselves and be honest with the message that's coming through. And that's really friggin' hard. So how do we navigate that? So for me, I have to make sure that if I'm going into a space where I'm like reading cards or doing ritual or wanting to channel or and tap into something, I need to be grounded. You know, like for me, that could be going outside and earthing, putting my feet on the ground for a little bit. Maybe, you know, charming or enchanting some cannabis and setting intention into the medicine and consuming it and then coming in and maybe dancing, getting into the body, things like that. Personally, movement for me is just really, really helpful. So is sound healing and journaling. Like if you're feeling really in your mind and your thoughts feel racy and you're afraid that that could cause some interference with whatever work you're trying to do, then I would highly recommend just brain dumping and allowing that inner voice to have a space so that it can feel heard, and that's so you can let it go and release that pressure within you. But also too, it's taught me body awareness. I'm sorry if you could hear my phone. That's very unprofessional of me, so I do apologize. But, you know, we're human and this is real life. However, as I was saying, having an unbiased opinion really allows you to tap into your body's wisdom and consciousness. And we'll talk more about that later in the episode. But again, I just want to say that this, what I'm saying isn't just applying to people on the spectrum, but like any type of neurodiversity. I think when you have trauma and anxiety and predisposed conditions or beliefs, there's going to be a lack of trust within yourself. And that's perfectly normal and like that's okay. And you're going to work through that. These are the first steps to doing so, right? Like just gaining the self-awareness and finding tools that resonate with you, right? And if this resonates with you, great. If it doesn't, I hope you're just enjoying hanging out with me and listening. But either way, this is your own personal journey to learning how to discern between your higher self, your intuition, your gut, and your ego, your biased opinion, right? And so that's the struggle of being an intuitive and a psychic person while also being neurodivergent. But the reward of having both, it allows me to tap into the sensory experience, right? So when we think of people on the spectrum or ADHD or sensory processing disorder, we're taking in the world. Like think of it like this. Let's say life is like driving a car. And for you, the volume feels pretty good at like 50. Let's say out of 100, the scale. So yeah, you're feeling pretty good at like 50. And let's say in that car with you, you have an autistic partner because you're sharing that life with that person, right? That autistic person, to them, they would probably prefer the volume at like 10 because 50 probably would feel closer to 80 or 100. You see what I'm saying? It's like the volume of life is turned up just like pretty much a good amount higher for those who are neurodivergent and struggle with sensory processing issues. And so, right, like that's like on the downside of things. Like, oh damn, like loud noises, lights, you know, like big groups of people, things like that. However, and I'm smiling as I'm saying this, on the flip side of that, those on the spectrum who have an in-tune spiritual practice, I feel, can have such a rewarding craft if they decide to be a witch or a pagan or like an earth-based religion. Because when you tap into Mother Earth and nature, people with sensory processing, again, like on the flip side, can really feel those vibrations, can really feel the warmth and the love that the sun is shining onto them, and can feel the hug of the wind as it wraps itself around us, as it blows by, you know? Like, I think it's important to recognize, yes, that being on the spectrum for me personally has its downfalls, but I also get to experience life in such a more enriching way than I feel that neurotypical people can, right? And so how that helps me spiritually is that I'm a highly imaginative and creative person. I have been my whole life. That was my escape in childhood and how I would manage my emotions at that time. So now, as a practicing witch and spiritualist, this gift allows me to have very vivid clairvoyant experiences and be able to really channel. So that, like, I will share descriptive visions that I have with friends, and they're like, I could never do that. And I'm like, well, like, I didn't always have this ability. Like, when I started my spiritual journey, I could not meditate. I was uncomfortable with myself. And, like, obviously, I hadn't done the work that I have now done and continue to do. Like, I was very uncomfortable with my body, uncomfortable with the world around me, the energy surrounding me. So it was easy for me to just be like to avoid it. Like, a lot of people do, and that's okay. I still avoid meditation sometimes if I'm like really going through it. That's normal. But in creating a meditation practice, in healing and working through some of the traumas that I've been through and making peace with my past, and also having some psychedelic experiences, like, I've done a lot of unraveling. But in the process of that unraveling, I've also learned a lot about myself. And again, like, being diagnosed with autism early this year, really, I don't know how, but it just propelled me in my spiritual journey so much more, because I was like, wow, even as a kid, like, I would have crazy, imaginative, intense, lucid daydreams where I would be connecting with, like, fairy beings and mermaids and, like, the animal spirits and, like, rocks. Like, I know that may sound crazy to some people who might be listening who are a little bit more skeptical when it comes to spirituality, but it's like understanding that I'm autistic in my crazy imagination and my intuition, because imagination and intuition go hand in hand. Your imagination is how your intuition can speak to you. And so for me as a clairvoyant, that's why it can be difficult with discernment, because I'm like, am I creating this image, or is this an image being created by spirit, my intuition, higher self, etc.? So again, another tangent of why I think my neurodiversity is a superpower when it comes to my spiritual practice is because I can have those vivid experiences. And again, like, kind of talking about how, at least for me, like, I experience emotions so intensely, both, you know, I don't want to say good and bad, but let's say up and down, right? That when I feel the love of the universe, when I feel energy flowing through me or the hands of a healing practitioner, or even in the hands of a loved one that I'm embracing, I can feel the warmth of love when I make eye contact with someone, and I can feel their spirit, right? And when I'm outside and it's still, and maybe it's like 6:30 in the morning and there's dew on the grass and it's kind of hazy and it's just quiet for a moment, it's like I can feel the energy of peace just surrounding me, like in an embrace. And I think being able to feel emotions and, again, sensory things and I allow those good feelings, those healing feelings, to envelop me. And finally, I feel one of the biggest rewards, if not the biggest, in being neurodivergent and spiritual is that spirituality and personal development are my biggest, my biggest special interests as an autistic person. And if you don't know, people with autism and ADHD, although that can look a lot like hyperfixations, where special interests will last considerably longer, if not for a lifetime, whereas hyperfixations can be, like 3 months to like a year, but sometimes like they'll fall off eventually. But yes, spirituality and personal development are a huge special interest of mine. And in having this be a special interest, it continues to help me to feel inspired and passionate about researching and practicing different modalities and giving myself the flexibility to let that look however it wants to and truly embracing myself for who I am. And I think some takeaways is that spirituality has given me so much in life. Witchcraft in particular has given me so much healing and stability, and it's truly giving me what I lacked growing up. I grew up going to school and being severely bullied and harassed for years, and that environment was very unsafe for me. And so how I would find safety is again through fantasy, whether it was creative writing or reading or watching like fantasy movies. Like fantasy was a core special interest of mine that got me through a very tough childhood. And so, I don't know, this is like kind of making my heart feel kind of fuzzy and I guess a little emotional at the same time, because even like as a kid, like I said earlier, like growing up and like I didn't have a lot of friends and I spent a lot of time alone. And so what kept me company were like my imaginary friends or my stuffed animals, right? And my stuffed animals, even to this day, I feel sentimental value and they feel like sentient beings to me. It was like my imagination and my spiritual connection, not understanding that then, obviously, as a child, that was reminding me that I am never alone and that I do have very special connections that have always been there. And obviously, growing up and going through adolescence and high school and college, like I turned myself off from that inner child and really became cold and hardened and angry by the disservice that I felt life had dealt me. When really, in the last several years, is when I've begun to come back to that child within me, to return to the ability to connect with beings and to allow my imagination to weave itself and the fantasy in my spiritual practice. And the stability that witchcraft, being a witch, being a pagan, having rituals and times of year where you celebrate nature has given me consistency and stability all through the vehicle like of myself, my practice and the tools that I choose to use, and I think knowing that I'll always have the safe space of my altar and my practice, it gives me a backbone knowing that no matter what happens in life, I always have me and I always have my spiritual practice and my spirit team. And kind of talking about body wisdom earlier, this struggle with discernment has taught me body wisdom. And this is another tip I have for you that if you also struggle with discernment like I do, tap into your body. Like when you ask a question, like let's say you want to ask or you want to know, should you stay or should you go in a particular relationship, romantic or not? You want to ensure again that you're grounded, that you've kind of shaken off whatever stagnant energy might be hanging on to you. And I invite you to just sit in the present moment, connect to your physical space, connect to the rise and fall of your breath, your heartbeat, eyes closed if that feels good for you. And then I want you to take some mindful breaths and then ask yourself the question, whether out loud or internally. And don't even allow your mind to create an answer. Like, remain connected to your breath. So after you ask that question, breathe into it and notice where in your body you feel any sensation, good or bad. Tightening, a lack of breath, a lack of movement, stiffness, maybe you feel a little sick, or perhaps you feel open, warm, light, like your chest is rising rather than contracting, because your body will rise or contract with what feels good and what doesn't feel good. And just simply tuning into your body's wisdom can give you an indicator that something is in alignment or it's not. For example, think about a toxic relationship that you may be in your past or currently. And in showing yourself compassion, reflecting on the feeling that that relationship gives you. And that can be a way to tap into it as well. Don't even ask a question. Think about that person that you want to know, is this person in alignment with me or not? Just from that meditative space, think about that person. Bring their face as an image to your mind. Bring that face as an image to your mind and see how your body physically responds. And that's a hard pill to swallow, my friends. It's not easy to be like, dang, this person be toxic as fuck. I gotta cut them out. You know, it's not easy. But you know what's harder? Is playing the up and down game of like, one day everything's good and then the next day you're in a fight, or, you know, and it's like the constant up and down. Like, that is not love. That is not healthy relationships. That is being addicted to the emotional cycle that we learn as kids growing up. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe that doesn't apply to everyone, but if you're like me and have any emotional attachment issues or codependency, or even just like dealing with any type of like narcissism in the past, like, you might have grown accustomed to the back and forth lifestyle, and it's not sustainable. And I think sometimes we rationalize red flags in relationships and jobs and experiences and habits to justify and to continue the behavior, right? But it's about being honest with how your body is responding, what truly feels safe for you. Because if you're not in relationships that feel safe, you're just going to be in fight or flight mode. And like, that's not healthy, boo. It's just not. And kind of taking a last look at the takeaways here. The last one I would note would be a deeper love and acceptance of self. Like, being an autistic witch has allowed me to truly love, honor, and appreciate myself for exactly as I am. Done. You know, point blank. I am worthy of love and acceptance just as I am. Whether that means I shave my legs or not. Whether that means I stim in front of people or not. Whether that means I'm, you know, whatever. Like, whatever I do, whatever I say, whatever I look like, I am worthy of love right now. And so are you. Guess what? So are you. You know, like, as we are right now, we are worthy of love. We are worthy of acceptance. We are worthy of self-discovery and the time it takes to do that unraveling and that healing and that journey. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. It just doesn't. And sometimes we want it to because we just want to get to the outcome. We want to get to the good part. But I'll let you in on a secret, if you want to know one. That good part is right here. Right now. in your rundown apartment, in your breaking down car, in your empty fridge, or your crazy family. You are not working towards happiness and fulfillment. What I've learned this year, if anything, that happiness and that fulfillment is truly right now, because right now is all we have. Right now is the only thing that is certain. And that's what I'm going to leave you with today. I'm very grateful I didn't have the AC on this episode. I didn't even put in my AirPods. I'm strictly just recording from my phone. So, yeah, I spent literally half an hour today manically trying to find my cord for my podcast mic. And yeah, I truly could not find it. So, I hope this audio is okay for you all. And I really appreciate you hanging out with me. This episode actually was one of the longer ones I've done in a bit because I actually took notes. How surprising. I went out this morning and enjoyed some cannabis, Jasmine Silver Haze. Really dope, really bomb. And I just felt inspired to take some notes and think about what it was I wanted to talk about and the important points I wanted to make. And I'm kind of impressed. It makes me feel like I'm Savannah, my real good friend who also has a podcast, Yay for Growth. It's also based around mental health and just personal development, so I highly, highly recommend you check it out. We've done a few episodes together. And yeah, Savannah's great, but I feel like Savannah. I actually took notes. So yeah, definitely check her out. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I'm kind of rambling on now, kind of caffeinated, so I'm gonna go play some Animal Crossing. I'm sending you all the love in the world. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at JessTheLastAvatar and on TikTok at JessTheAutisticWitch. And I'll talk to you all soon.